Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 15 of the Ash Bros podcast. Super excited to bring you guys this episode. I'm Todd, here with Peter, and man, I know we're both pumped up for this one. Peter, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. Another podcast, another week of the NFL coming up for us. Obviously, week four is a big week. This week in general and for football is great, with college football as well. So I'm really excited for this slate. But yeah, man, we got some big games coming up, obviously, this Sunday.
Yeah, that's for sure. There's a lot of big games, including some there's also an international game. We're going to get into that in a second. But yeah, we're heading to week four, the NFL season, which is crazy. We're almost at the first quarter point of the 2025 NFL season, which is pretty wild how fast time goes. But with that being said, let's get into our predictions for this week. So our first game here, we have the Minnesota Vikings, who are 2-1. Taking on the also 2-1 Pittsburgh Steelers, but it's not in Pittsburgh or Minnesota. It's actually in Dublin, Ireland, the first international game of the 2025 NFL season. I don't know, man. I think this is an interesting game. For me personally, I'm going to go with the Steelers. I think the Steelers are going to get this win. Don't get me wrong. The Vikings looked great last week. They beat the Bengals, beat the bricks off the Bengals, to be honest, in that game in Minnesota. But I feel like this with this one here, you know, Carson Wentz, I feel like he's going to have to do a little bit more in this game. And the Steelers defense, they struggled a lot in the first 2 weeks of the season, but last week they played a lot better against the Patriots, forced 5 turnovers. I'm not saying they're going to force 5 turnovers again for the second straight week, but I do think that, you know, with Carson Wentz having to do a little bit more, I think the Steelers defense, they got some confidence now. They have a lot of talented players, Hall of Fame players on that defense, so I do think they'll step up. And I think Aaron Rodgers will do just enough against a Brian Flores-led defense to help the Steelers improve to 3-1 on the season.
The last time Aaron Rodgers had an international game, I'm pretty sure it was last season when they played the Jets. They played the Vikings. What's wrong with the Jets? He was on the Jets, excuse me. They played the Vikings, and it was Brian Flores-led defense. And that was one of the few games, believe it or not, of the season where Aaron Rodgers actually looked pretty formidable, and it was against a Brian Flores defense. The one thing Aaron Rodgers is pretty good at, and people give him a lot of credit for, is his on-the-fly adjusting. He's very good under chaos in terms of, like, understanding, hey, this might be coming quick. It seems like almost when there's more chaos, he's better. When there's less chaos, he's, like, not as good. It's weird with him. And I'm also taking the Steelers for that reason. I think he'll have, I guess, when they have an adjustment for him and they throw some things at him, he won't be flustered. He won't be surprised. And like you said, the Vikings didn't have to do much work last week. The defense basically just did everything more or less and didn't have that Jake Browning, and the Bengals offense was just horrible. So with that being said, I think the Steelers are going to get it done this week the same kind of way. I think they'll do just enough to get it done offensively, and I just think it's going to be hard for Carson Wentz to, you know, kind of actually do a lot more than he was asked to do last week. I don't think he's as good. So that's just me. I'm going to go with the Steelers as well.
Our next matchup here, we have the Washington Commanders going on the road to take on the Atlanta Falcons. The Commanders are 2-1 on the season. They enjoyed a nice bounce back win over the Raiders last week. The Falcons last week, they lost 30-0 to the Carolina Panthers, which was very surprising. Both of us picked the Falcons to win that game. This game should be interesting. I don't know. This one's kind of like a coin flip for me, but I'm going to lean towards the Commanders. I know they're on the road, and, you know, obviously we don't know what Jaden Daniels is going to play. I think he's probably going to be questionable or whatnot to, heading to this game. But I just think the Commanders are a better team, especially when it comes to being coached. I just think they're a better, well-coached team. Dan Quinn over there, you know, they're always ready to go. You know, even the one loss this season to the Packers, it wasn't like the Commanders were, like, unprepared or anything like that. The Packers just, I feel like, played a very good game. So I do think the Commanders will come out here in Atlanta and get a close win. Even if it's Marcus Mariota, I think he'll do his thing. You know, Terry McLaurin just throwing some bombs there. And it's really gut check time, I feel like, for Michael Penix, too. I think it's time for him to bounce back. I think he'll be better than he was last week. You know, they won't score 0 points like they did against the Panthers. But I do have the Commanders coming out on top and going to 3-1 for the second straight season, which, like, I think probably hasn't happened since, like, the 1990s or something like that. But, yeah, I got the Commanders winning this game.
You make really good points. Even though, again, everything you're saying makes complete sense and I understand it, I'm taking the Falcons just literally because I think, like, they need a win bad. It's not, like, in the sense that I know, like, okay, they're 1-2. It's not, like, the end of the world. But, like, last week was bad, man. That was embarrassing. Penix obviously wasn't great, but the offensive line wasn't great either. It just seems like everything wasn't going their way. I feel like they need a win, and at home where they could easily be 2-1, they probably could have beaten the Bucs in week one.
Yeah.
In a season where things aren't looking too good, Raheem Morris kind of feeling the heat. What he said about Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix was kind of crazy. People were talking about it, how he was basically like, well, Kirk straight up lost his job last year, and That's Mike, crazy. We're not even close to Mike, and like losing his, and it's like, oh well, now you kind of put the light on both of them. I just think they really need a win, and that's why I'm going with the Falcons, because I think you lose this game, even if it's not an embarrassing fashion, you lose this game, it's tough, man. 1-3, you just said what you said, and if Penix looks bad again, like, you have some serious questions to answer. So, yeah, with that very reason, I know it sounds weird, I'm just going to take the Falcons in this one.
Interesting. Our next matchup here, we have the 0-3 New Orleans Saints traveling to Buffalo to take on the 3-0 Buffalo Bills. 1 o'clock game on CBS there. I'm going to go with the Bills, man. I think the Bills are going to dominate this game, to be honest. I don't really see this game being that close. I don't know. I just feel like the Saints are going to be kind of overwhelmed going to Buffalo against, you know, that team. I think there's a major talent discrepancy between the two teams. I think the Bills will enjoy an easy win and go to 4-0 here.
I'm also with you. I'm on the Buffalo Bills. The Saints, unfortunately, just it's been tough, man. Like, their best chance to win a game was probably against the Cardinals. They came super close. Unfortunately, couldn't get it done. And now you're just running into a bunch of teams that are very, very tough. Came off a really bad loss against the Seahawks last week. They were just outclassed. Once again, I think they're going to be outclassed again. You're in Buffalo. Crowd's going to be rowdy. We're going to be ready to go. And the Bills are just flat out the better team at this point. So I'm also going with Buffalo.
Our next game here, we have the Cleveland Browns traveling on the road to take on the Detroit Lions. Should be an interesting one here. AFC North is the NFC North matchup. The Browns obviously upset the Packers last week in a crazy game, to be honest. Honestly, I have the Lions winning this game. I think the Lions are, you know, I think some people overreacted after that week one loss to the Packers. They're like, oh, the Lions are done. It's over. And then obviously they won the last two games and they beat a really good Ravens team on the road. So I think the Lions are going to get this home win. They're going to go to 2-0 and home on the season. It won't be easy for them on offense. I think the Browns defense is very good, but I just feel like eventually the Lions are going to make some plays. The offensive line is, you know, looking very good. I'm not sure if you saw it, Peter, but Penei Sewell, that game against the Ravens, it was like the highest run blocking grade that Pro Football Focus has ever given to an offensive tackle.
I think that's crazy.
That game. So I feel like in this game, the offensive line is going to be able to do a much better job than Green Bay's offensive line did. And then I think Detroit's defense, I feel like they'll be able to handle Cleveland's offense. So
that is crazy. That's crazy. He's, again, the best probably run blocking tackle, maybe yeah. Back blocking offensive lineman, period, in the league.
Yeah.
I think his pass protection, sometimes there's questions about it, but his run blocking is incredible. The Ravens also had some really weird fronts, but that's a whole different thing. I'm also going to go with the Detroit Lions here. Again, not biased. And obviously, I know the Browns beat our Packers, but I just think the Lions are flat out the better team. They're clicking right now. And again, I said to you last week, where I kept saying to you over and over about the Lions game, I said, man, I'm picking the Ravens, but I really, really, like, a part of me wants to go with the Lions. I'm really feeling the Lions. And we were talking about it on the podcast again, obviously, last week's episode. And they did exactly what I thought they would. Again, they're a big bully team. And the Ravens are just, it's tough. A lot of teams can't really handle that. And the Lions came to play, man. They weren't playing around. They were going for it. That 95-yard or whatever drive they had before the end of the first half was incredible. The worst thing that maybe could have happened to this league was the Lions losing that week one game because everyone counted them out. And the Lions play their best football when they're down and out or when they're kind of counted out. They want to be the ultimate underdog, almost, if you will. And they haven't been underdog for a long time. They really haven't. And I think that week one loss gave them a sense of urgency. And I think they're fully back and ready to go. So, yeah, I'm also going with the Lions in this one.
Our next game, we have a battle between the 1-2 Carolina Panthers and the 1-2 New England Patriots in New England. Battle between two young, talented quarterbacks, Bryce Young and Drake May. Panthers got a big win, like you mentioned, against the Falcons last week. Patriots had an unfortunate loss to the Steelers last week. This game, I have the Patriots winning, personally. I think they'll be able to bounce back and get a win at home. Even that game against the Steelers last week, like, they had 5 turnovers, like I said, like, you know, if you cut that down, but, you know, 2 or 3 turnovers only, I feel like they win that game. So I do feel like they'll be able to bounce back against the Carolina team that I think they're slightly more talented than. And I like Drake May. I feel like he's played well so far to start the season. And I feel like he'll be able to have a good game against, I would say, an improved Carolina defense from last year, at least. But I do think Drake May and those guys will be able to put some points on the Panthers defense there and win the game.
I'm also with the Patriots. The key thing for them is, like you said, the turnovers, but they were really timely turnovers.
Yeah.
The Ramondre Stevenson fumble at the goal line, horrible. That just can't happen. I think it's Trevon Henderson time, but that's just me. Hopefully they start implementing more in the offense, but that just can't happen. Antonio Gibson barely got any carries. He fumbled. That's also a problem. And then Drake May, is like you said, he's been playing decent, but he had one horrible interception in the red zone. Guy's wide open and he threw it short. That can't happen. and they lost by, what, 7 points, one touchdown? You convert on two of those, you win the game, regardless of what happens. So it's like things like that can't happen with the Patriots. I'm sure they'll clean it up. It's just right now they're at an unprecedented, super high turnover mark, which is like really weird for Patriots teams. So if they can clean that up, I can easily see a win here. That's going to be the key in this one, though. Like, you just can't have that many turnovers to expect to win. The Panthers last week, you saw what happened with Michael Penix, right? A ton of turnovers happened. They won the game big. So the Panthers aren't a team that's going to roll over easily. You got to convert when you have the chances. Again, I'm going with the Patriots, but they got to be smarter than that, and they got to be better.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I do think even though the Patriots win this game, I think it'll be a pretty close game. I think the Panthers will come in with a lot of momentum from last week. Our next game here, we had the Los Angeles Chargers, the undefeated Los Angeles Chargers, on the road taking on the winless New York Giants in New York. But this game's going to be special because it's actually the debut for Jackson Dart, the Giants' first-round quarterback who they selected in this year's draft. He's making his first career start against a very, very good Chargers defense. Chargers defense that ranks, I believe, in the top three in points allowed over the last, if you combine last season, the first three games of this season. Jesse Minter's defense in L.A. has been very good. I think it'll be a tough challenge for Dart in his first start. I think the Chargers will get the win here. They'll go to 4-0. Justin Herbert's playing awesome so far to start the season, playing like an MVP candidate. You know, the defense has been good, like I mentioned. And I just feel like the Giants, you know, they're a talented team, but I just feel like in this game here, you know, the coaching matchup between Jim Harbaugh and Brian Daboll, I think that's an advantage for the Chargers as well. So, yeah, I have the Chargers winning this game. I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I feel like it'd be like a, I can see like, I don't know, 27, kind of 14, something like that.
This is a tough game to make your debut in. I mean, you're playing a red hot Chargers team that's played really well. And on top of that, like you said, Jackson Dart, I was impressed with what he did in the preseason, and I liked his moxie, I like his swagger, he's confident. But it's really tough, man, to play Jesse Minter defense in your debut. And Jackson Dart, my biggest knock on him coming out of college or Ole Miss was that he had a lot of bad turnovers, a lot of timely ones too. And now you're playing against a team that's very good at doing that. And also very good, if not the best, other than the Vikings defense and Brian Flores, of course, at disguising coverages pre-snap. And now you got to find that en route to having, I mean, well, while also having a bad offensive line and not the greatest receiver bunch other than basically two guys, it's going to be very tough for them to win this game. Again, future could be a lot better. This is a very hard first start for any quarterback. I wouldn't be shocked if it is a blowout. I'll be honest with you. I have the Bulls by a lot. Hopefully Jackson's art state, if he looks good in a game like this, maybe he's the truth, but this is a tough, tough game to have your debut in.
Our next game is going to be, in my opinion, the best game of the week here. You got the Philadelphia Eagles at 3-0, traveling to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are also 3-0. This is going to be a great matchup, man. This could be an NFC Championship game preview, I feel like, honestly. Like, both of these teams are very good. They've had a lot of fair share of matchups over the last few years, including a couple of playoff matches as well that the Buccaneers won both of those. But yeah, I don't know. It should be an interesting one here. I have the Buccaneers winning this game. Honestly, I would say for two reasons. I feel like, number one, they're at home, and it's going to be very, very warm and hot in Tampa Bay. And I'm not sure if you've seen the news, like the Eagles, Nick Sirianni said like they're going to come down a day early in Tampa Bay. And then Baker Mayfield kind of fired back, like, oh, a day there is not going to help them get accumulated to the weather. So I don't know. I'm inclined to kind of agree with Mayfield in a way. I do feel like the Buccaneers, even if you look at the last few matchups these teams have played, they've kind of had the Eagles' number. I think last year they played in week four as well, and the Buccaneers took care of business in that game. I feel like they won by double digits. That was the Eagles' like last loss for like 2 months, actually. But the Buccaneers handled them there. They played in the playoffs, I think, in 2024, and the Buccaneers blew them out in that game. So, yeah, the Buccaneers have kind of had their number recently. I feel like that's going to continue. It'll be a close game, but I just like the Buccaneers, how they're playing. Baker Mayfield's playing great. It'll be a good one, but I got Tampa Bay winning this game here.
This one was a legitimate coin flip for me. I even put in the notes, coin flip. I will decide when I talk to you today and we record this thing. I'm going to go with the Eagles. And my thing is, it's Tampa Bay's just too banged up. It'd be one thing. I think they're really good, and I think they're more than capable of getting this game, like, regardless. I just think there's so many injuries to their offensive line. Mike Evans is out. It's Chris Godwin's first game back. Tristan Wirfs coming back is huge, but how is he going to be in his first game back? Like, he had to make sure he's 100% ready to go, and that's a tough first game without a training camp or anything like that. I just think too many injuries for the Bucs. It's just eventually he's going to catch up to you, and I know they've been playing pretty good football, but it's very tough, very, very tough to kind of get everything done when you're just banged up. And the Eagles, I know they got lucky last week, and you can call it a kind of a horseshoe that they have right now, but I just like how they're playing. I think it's going to be good enough against a Buccaneers defense. Like, once again, that's just way too banged up. So I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles in this one, and a close one, but I think the Eagles move to 4-0.
No, that's a good point. I do think Wirfs is accumulation might not be as difficult with Nolan Smith being on IR for or going on IR with the news. I'm not even sure what injury actually. Oh, it's his triceps. I think. So that's gonna be tough for the Eagles for sure. But yeah, I do think the Buccaneers will come out on top. But it should be a good game for sure. That's for sure. Our next matchup here, we have the game that some people are saying they should flex to 4 a.m. The 0-3 Tennessee Titans traveling to take on the 0-3 Houston Texans.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. AFC South matchup, both of these teams are winless. The Titans, if you told me they were winless, I wouldn't be too surprised. But the Texans being 0-3 is like crazy to me. I was not expecting that at all. I have the Texans winning this game, but I'm not super confident in saying that just because of the way they've looked, especially offensively. Like, defensively, they're still elite. But offensively, it's like they have so many problems right now. CJ Stroud's not playing great. The offensive line is somehow it's gotten worse than last year. I didn't think that was possible. But yeah, it turns out it is possible. and it's just been really tough for the Texans to really move the ball. They can't run the ball either. So they're just in a lot of third down and longs. It's just really tough for their offense right now. I think Tennessee's defense is pretty good as well. So I feel like, you know, it'll be a close game. But at home, they're a more talented team. I do think the Texans will pick up their first win of the 2025 season. But if they don't be surprised if you start hearing some rumblings about D'Amico Ryan's potentially in his job security moving forward.
Yeah, the Texans are in trouble. I got the Texans winning this game too, but like you said, I'm also not confident in them right now at all. We talked about this in the AFC South preview. I keep bringing this up every week with these guys. We were telling me, oh, they got new guys because of new vibes and they wanted to do it for better vibes. They got rid of Larry Tunzel because of good vibes. These guys that they got for good vibes, Lincoln Tomlinson and whatever, the other dude, I can't remember his name at this point. I'm just being honest. They got benched. Like, this good vibes thing did not work. It backfired completely on them. And the good vibes, again, good vibes don't mean anything. You need nasty, mean offensive linemen or guys who can play. I don't care how the vibes are with an offensive lineman. You think the defensive line cares about how your vibes are when he's stepping on the line? No, they're going ahead and they're trying to kill, man. They're trying to win.
They got bad intentions, yeah.
Yeah, so you gotta, again, like, you gotta be better than that. And I know people are talking about Stroud this and Stroud that, but I don't know how you're gonna play well when one, again, the type of quarterback he is, people were talking about him as the greatest or one of the greatest anticipatory quarterbacks we've ever seen. How do you anticipate anything when your line is crumbling around you? If he's that good at what he does, it's the same thing with Brock Purdy. I would say this all the time. Those are two quarterbacks where they anticipate so much, they can't survive if they're not upright because they play so much based on timing. 3-step drops, 5-step drops, 1-2-3, he's gonna be open. And if you're relying on that so much to kind of like alter your game, you can't really adjust to that system, it's lights out, man. And So again, I had the Texans winning this game, but it's almost like they have to win this game. If they don't, like, it's just it's gonna get really, really ugly and bad. And to be honest, it wouldn't shock me if they lose because the Titans defense is more than capable of getting enough stops. And Cam Ward doesn't care. He's gonna sling it. Yeah. He doesn't care how the offense is going. Even though he gets beaten and battered, he's gonna keep saying, "My linemen are good. My receivers are good." Like, he sticks up for everyone. So yeah, they're gonna come in there and just play like another game. It's gonna be like another game for them where it's just kind of like they don't have anything to lose. Where the Texans, things are not looking good. The Chauncey Gardner Johnson stuff and the offensive line. Yeah. I don't know, man. So I guess we'll see on Sunday.
Our next game here, we're moving to the 4 o'clock window games here. This one's going to be interesting. The 3-0 Indianapolis Colts on the road to take on the 2-1 LA Rams, the Marshall Faulk Bowl, if you will. This is a very interesting game. Like, coming into the season, I didn't think that I'd be looking forward to watching the Rams and the Colts, but here we are, man. The Colts are 3-0, and Daniel Jones, you know, wearing that number 17, he's looking like Josh Allen out there playing quarterback, playing like an MVP candidate right now. And yeah, the Colts are 3-0, first time since 2009. When they won or when they made it to the Super Bowl, the last time they made it to the Super Bowl. And then the Rams also, you know, could arguably be 3-0, but obviously they lost a close one to the Eagles last week. I have the Rams winning this game. I don't know. It's at home. It's in L.A. There's not going to be any, you know, both teams playing the dome. So it kind of be, I guess, kind of familiar for both teams. But I just think the Rams with their defense, their defensive line, all the guys they got in the D-line there, I feel like they're going to have a good performance against a good Colts O-line. And I feel like just, you know, Daniel Jones I don't know. I feel like the Rams defense can kind of slow them down a little bit. And, you know, the Colts have had a hot start, but it's mainly because of their offense. Their defense has been kind of up and down. They haven't been, like, that great outside of that week one game against the Dolphins. So I do feel like Matthew Stafford and Puka Nacua and Davante Adams will kind of have their way, the Colts defense, and put up some points. So I think it'll be a good one, but I have the Rams winning this one.
I also have the Rams in this one, but the Rams running game is going to have to be better if they want to win this game. Kyren Williams hasn't been as explosive so far, but the offensive line hasn't really done him any favors, so it's been a lot of Matthew Stafford. They can't really expect him to just go completely crazy here, just because the Colts also show a lot of crazy looks in front and pre-snap reads and stuff like that, and you just never know with the kind of turnovers and pressure they generate. So it's a tough one with them there. The Colts, for me, it's more so like, again, they're good. I like what they're doing. They're humming on offense, and they're really well coached, so I like what they're doing. I just think at the same time, eventually it just gets to a point where you just have to run into kind of reality of who's just a better team sometimes. I just think the Rams are better at this point. I think, honestly, they could easily be 3-0, probably should be 3-0. Just, unfortunately, you know, something happened and the clock kicked. So, yeah, it's tough. Again, if the Colts win this game, I wouldn't be too shocked, but I'm also going to go with the Rams at home and what could be, like, a really explosive game in terms of points.
Next, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are at 2-1. They're on the road, taking on the 3-0 San Francisco 49ers. This should be an interesting one here. I kind of was going back and forth with this matchup here, but I'm going to go with the Jaguars, actually, winning this game on the road. The Jaguars have only played one road game so far this season. It was against the Bengals, and they looked pretty good in that game until late, and I feel like that's a game that, you know, honestly, they should have won. They should honestly be 3-0 right now. So they look good in that game. I feel like you're on the road in San Francisco. I feel like they'll put on a good performance here, and I think the 49ers are really going to miss out not having Nick Bosa in this game against Trevor Lawrence, who I feel like, you know, he's going to have a pocket, clean pocket to throw to those, you know, receivers, Brian Thomas and, you know, hopefully Travis Hunter, if they decide to use him, you know, more. But, yeah, I feel like Trevor Lawrence is going to have a good game there. And I feel like on the other side of the ball, Mac Jones has been good, stepping in for Brock Purdy, who's been injured. But I think this is the best defense he's seen so far in the Jaguars defense, and how good they've been playing. So I do think the Jaguars are going to go on the road, and I think they're going to steal one in San Francisco and put the 3-1 on the season and continue our good start to the year.
This one was tough for me too as well. Another thing, I put coin flip. We'll decide when I speak to you and once we record. But I'm going to go with the Niners in this one. I think Brock Purdy might play. I think it's a question when he might come back. And even if he doesn't, I'm confident, more than confident in Mac Jones. I think as long as he has enough receivers playing, the question is going to be Ricky Pearsall. Is he going to play? Juwan Jennings? Like, some of these guys can play. I think they have a chance. McCaffrey's quietly been pretty good. He had a really good game last week.
Yeah.
And Mac Jones, he's seen the Seahawks defense. Like, I think the Jaguars defense is really good and what they're doing, but the Seahawks defense is, I would say, just as good or on par with them. And I don't think there's nothing that's going to really faze him too much. It's going to be more so, like you said, on the Niners, maybe the defense getting stops. But problem is, we're talking about Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence, sometimes even with clean pockets, he looks bad. Like, I don't know what to expect out of him. I trust the Niners' offense more than the Jaguars' offense. The Jaguars' defense is good, but I think Kyle Shanahan will do just enough of a game plan to kind of maybe slow them down, run the ball a bit more, and just get enough done. Again, the Jags could win this game easily. I can see it happening. I'm just leaning more on the team I trust, and I trust the Niners more than I do the Jaguars.
Our next matchup here, we have a marquee matchup here in the AFC between two contenders, long-term contenders in the AFC, the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs. 4:25 on CBS. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo are going to be on the call there. Should be an interesting one. Both teams are 1-2, which is pretty shocking to see both of these AFC contenders, you know, with Hall of Fame quarterbacks and Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes with losing records so far. But here we are, and one of these teams is going to fall to 1-3 and be in a bad spot. So I don't know. For me, I was kind of going back and forth on this one. The Chiefs have historically kind of had the Ravens' number when it comes to Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. I think Mahomes is 4-1. If I'm not mistaken, against Lamar Jackson. But I do think Lamar is going to pick up a win here on the road and get his first win at Arrowhead Stadium. Almost got it last year when they played that game. And of course, you know, Isaiah Likely's toe was on the line and all that, which is pretty crazy. But I do think the Ravens this time, they won't even need that. I think this time they're going to come in and they're going to play their game. And Derrick Henry's going to have a bounce back performance after, you know, he fumbled last week against the Lions. And he's kind of had some issues with fumbling this year. But I feel like in this game, he's going to be able to, you know, kind of do his thing against the Chiefs defense. And on the other side of the ball, you know, the Ravens defense, it's put up a shut up time. You know, Marlon Humphrey, he said after that Lions game, he said, we're just not very good. after that performance. And I know the Lions offense is very good, but they didn't look good at all against Detroit. I feel like against Kansas City, they're going to look a little better. You know, Mahomes and the Chiefs offense, they haven't looked too great all season so far. A lot of injuries, a lot of just, you know, questionable play calling decisions, issues with personnel as well. So because of that, I'm going to go with the Ravens on the road, and they're going to go to 2-2, and the Chiefs are going to have some interesting things to talk about sitting at 1-3.
This is a massive game for the Ravens, like massive. This might be arguably the biggest game, regular season game, sorry, in the Lamar Jackson era. I'm not even joking in the sense that, like, I know it's early in the season, but if they go 1-3 down and you already have a couple of losses here and there and two losses in the division against two teams that you're probably going to see in the playoffs, or you have to get at least get through in the playoffs to probably make a Super Bowl, it'd be very tough to lose these games early on. And the Ravens, yeah, like you said, I don't know. It's tough with these guys. Like you said, put it for shut-up time. Some of the fronts I said earlier, some of the fronts they had against the Lions, it was awful. Like, there were times where the Lions had, they would add, like, two tight ends, and the Ravens would have two tackles, like, two defense tackles, and two edges, but they were standing up. And it was, like, in the red zone. It's like, guys, like, this isn't, like, time to run nickel 2-4 or, like, something like that and have these guys up. You got to get, like, a 3-4, again, 3-4 base, something like that, and get guys in there. Yeah. Like, this is a tough Lions offense. Like, they want to bully you, and you have a wide front. It's like, no, it's just not going to happen. And that's why they were getting mauled to death up there. So, hopefully, personnel-wise, they fix that. Zach Orr has a lot of questions to answer. And it's going to be a big one against the Chiefs. Mahomes and those guys and company are going to know what they're doing. I'm sure Matt Nagy and Andy Reid have been talking about what they want to do going forward. But again, I just think the Ravens, like, they need this. Both teams need it, but the Chiefs can almost, I can see them losing and find a way around it and still make a run. The Ravens lose this game. I just don't know where their confidence goes. Like, you saw what you said, what Marlon Humphrey said, and Kyle Hamilton saying stuff about the defense.
Yeah,
there's just too much going on over there. They really badly need a win. And like I said, this is arguably the biggest kind of regular season game they've had in a long time. So, especially this early. So yeah, I'm going to go with the Ravens just because I think they need it more. Literally because of that.
Up next, we have another 4:25 game here in the conference matchup, actually, between the 1-2 Bears and the 1-2 Raiders. And this one, I'm going to go with the Bears, man. I feel like they just have a lot of momentum from, you know, that game against the Cowboys. They played really well on both sides of the ball, especially on offense. Like, Caleb Williams was electric in that game. You know, Ben Johnson's offense, so that was great. And their defense, you know, Dallas was able to move the ball on them when they played the Cowboys last week, but they did a great job of forcing turnovers. And I feel like they can do the same thing against Geno Smith, who can be kind of trigger happy at times and attempt some throws that are kind of dangerous and risky. So I do feel like the Bears will be able to go on the road and get another win and go to 2-2 and get to 500 on the season.
The Bears looked really good last week, and there's no denying that. I like the way they played. They were clicking. I also think they played the worst defense probably in the NFL last week in the Dallas Cowboys. The Raiders haven't been so much better, and I understand that, but I'm still going to go with the Raiders, man. I'm going to go with the Raiders to take a close one. I just think, again, like, it. A lot of things, I know they looked horrible against Washington, but a lot of things they were doing wrong was just, it kind of seemed like Geno was just trying to force things early. I think they take it easy, and I think if Chip Kelly's biggest demise, honestly, at this point of his career, and kind of what's hindered him over the last couple of years, is that he almost wants to overthink things. If you remember in Ohio State last year when they were making that run, or before they made that run, when they lost to Michigan, he just refused to kind of throw the ball. Like, their strength of their team was throwing the ball, and they just wanted to run it against Michigan. It's like, why? Like,
Mason Graham. Right.
It was crazy. Yeah, him, Kenneth Grant. It's like, why would you want to do that? And then they figured out, oh, maybe we should air it out. We have the best receiving probably core arguably in the country. Our quarterback doesn't care about slinging it. We have the advantage. Let's sling it. And they changed their whole philosophy. If he can have a coming-to-light moment with that with Ashton Jeanty, I saw something the other day about Ashton Jeanty that was ridiculous. He has a 101% yards after contact rate
this season.
Josh Jacobs, I was looking at Josh Jacobs, like, oh, he has 92%. Our line has been, Packers line has been pretty good. I'm like, okay, that's a problem. 101%? How does it get past 100? Like, that is insane. So, like, I know the line hasn't been great, maybe they haven't run the ball that well, but they got to find a way to get Jeanty more involved and get him better looks. Stop taking him out in pass downs, too. He's more than capable of a pass catcher. You can't take some guy that high and just not use him. He's so talented and super skilled. So I think they run the ball here and they get it going. You saw what the Vikings were able to do against the Bears, run downhill and get something going there. Raiders are going to do the same thing in this matchup. And I think if they get that, they'll win this game.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, especially with, like, Ashton Jeanty and stuff like that. Like, they definitely got to use him more. I mean, Marquise Brown said it best, right? What's the point of having soldiers if you don't use them? So
exactly.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that for sure. Our next matchup here is Sunday Night Football, man. Sunday Night Football matchup between the 2-1 Green Bay Packers on the road to take on the 1-2 Dallas Cowboys. Should be interesting here, man. Micah Parsons making his return to Dallas. Highly anticipated return there. And obviously the Packers and the Cowboys have had a long-standing rivalry. A lot of interesting matchups over the decades and whatnot. Of course, the Packers have kind of had their number since Aaron Rodgers took over as the quarterback, and I think that's going to continue on Sunday night. I think the Packers are going to get a win here. You know, obviously, they didn't look good against the Browns last week at all, at least on offense and special teams. I think this week they're going to bounce back against a Cowboys defense that, I don't know. They're not looking too good on defense, man. It's kind of hard to describe their defense right now, especially after the first week of the season. They played pretty well against Philadelphia. And then the last 2 weeks, he's just been really struggling. And I think Jordan Love, he's going to have a nice bounce-back performance against the Cowboys defense. And then on the other side of the ball, Dak Prescott, you know, obviously won't have CeeDee Lamb because he's injured. So, you know, I could see them, you know, kind of just trying to drop back and try to get some deep shots to George Pickens and whatnot. And unfortunately, that's just going to invite a lot of opportunities for Micah Parsons to, you know, get to Prescott there. And Rashawn Gary as well, currently leads the NFL in sacks, 4.5. He's having a great start to the year. But yeah, I think the Packers are going to get out to a fast start and get their first road win of the season here and go to 3-1.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm also going with the Packers. It's a big week for them. It's a tough loss against the Browns. Again, a game they probably should have never lost. You can point the fingers at a lot of things and things that went wrong, obviously, in that matchup, and there's a bunch of people you can look at. But the point is they flat out just took their foot off the gas, which has been a common, honestly, start for them all season. I know people keep talking about they've been so dominant. Well, week one against the Lions, they took their foot off the gas, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They could have won that game by 30 points. They didn't. The Commanders game should have won a game by 40, it felt like. And yes, they won a game, and again, they had double-digit wins in both those games, but people were over-hyping this team a lot and going crazy about it. And that was the biggest demise to them so far, is that they didn't want to put people down, and now you play a tough Browns team, and you lose the game because you didn't want to put someone out. So, yeah, I think it's a big week for them to showcase who they are. And this is one of those weeks where, again, the Cowboys are struggling. What a way to bounce back than to go into a place where you're familiar in, kind of, and you've had success there before. And against a team that's struggling right now, why not, you know, kind of push the issue a little bit? And I'm not saying destroy them, but if you have a chance to do it, you should probably do it. And this is a big game for them. I'm personally, as a fan, won't be satisfied unless it's a massive victory, because I expect them to go there and show everyone why they could be Super Bowl contenders. So I expect a big win for the Packers here.
Yeah, the Packers are unbeaten at AT&T Stadium. They've never lost there. So let's see if they can continue that streak on Sunday night. Next, we have two Monday Night Football games, actually, so that should be interesting. Our first game, we have the 0-3 New York Jets traveling to take on the 0-3 Miami Dolphins in a AFC East matchup here. Man, this is an interesting matchup. Obviously, both teams are trying to get their first win of the season. They're kind of struggling to start the year. I have the Jets winning this game on the road, actually, man. I think Aaron Glenn has those guys playing very hard, very tough. You know, poor guy too, man. He was celebrating, man. He was dancing like crazy on the sidelines after that blocked field goal against the Buccaneers last week, and then the defense wasn't able to get a stop at the end. But I think this week they'll bounce back, and I think they'll be able to get the win here. I don't know. I think their defense will have a good performance against Miami's offense. I like the Jets' defense. A lot of talented players there. I feel like they're kind of due, just with all the talent they have and Aaron Glenn being the coach there. I feel like they're due to have like a kind of like signature, kind of like very good performance. And I feel like they're going to have it on Monday night against a Dolphins team that is just kind of in shambles right now. I know they look decent against the Bills, and you can argue they could have won that game actually against the Bills last week on Thursday night. But I just think the Jets are going to get their first win of the season and do it for Aaron Glenn and continue to play better. So I'll get that win.
I'm going to go with the Dolphins. I just think, again, like the Jets are just dealing with a couple of things. I'm assuming Fields going to be back. I don't know if a concussion, he's still dealing with a concussion. He still might be in protocol.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think even if he's back, I'm not a big fan of what the Jets are doing. They looked good week one against the Steelers. Offensively, they were kind of clicking. And then in week two, even before the injury against the Bills, it kind of came back to reality. And then last week against the Bucs, obviously, it's a tough matchup. And yes, they did almost come back, but that was more of the Bucs kind of folding than it was the Jets kind of coming back.
Yeah.
I just think the Dolphins' offense, I like what they're doing there. I think, again, I know it's been kind of up and down, but the Bills game showed me a lot. It showed me that they had heart. And Tyreek Hill, after the game, said one biggest thing to take away was that Dolphins was actually kind of happy, even after a loss. Not really happy in the sense that they were like, oh, we lost. It was more like wow, we showed some heart. We showed that we have something left. There's still a heartbeat here. And he said it's the first time I've ever seen Mike McDaniel. Well, not the first time, but he was like basically alluding to like Mike had like a fire in his eyes. Like he was pissed. Like he came in, wasn't doing those nerdy jokes he's known for. Like he was locked in. I expect him to be locked in this week again. Monday night, they need a win. They're at home. Then the crowd's going to be busy, and I think they're going to be willing to put on a show. So I'm going to go with the Finns.
Yeah, I saw, with Justin Fields, they said that he's progressing in concussion protocol right now, so he could return by Monday night, but if not, it'll be Tyrod Taylor in there for the second straight week for the Jets there. And lastly, our last game of the week, second Monday Night Football matchup, we had the 2-1 Cincinnati Bengals traveling to take on the 1-2 Denver Broncos. I have the Broncos winning this game, man. At home, Mile High City, Monday night. Joe Burrow is on the field for Cincinnati. That would have changed a lot for me. And I probably would have picked the Bengals, honestly, to win this matchup. But I just feel like with Jake Browning there, he's been really struggling with turnovers, honestly, so far to start the season. And that Broncos defense is very good. They're very good at taking the ball away. A lot of talented players there. So I feel like the Broncos, they've had a couple close losses last 2 weeks to the Colts and then last week to the Chargers. But I feel like here, being back home, the defense is going to dominate this matchup. And Bo Nix will have a good game against a, suspect Bengals defense.
The Broncos need this one bad, man. They need it bad. They could easily be 2-0. They could easily be 2-1. They could easily be 3-0 right now.
Yeah.
A couple things haven't really gone their way. They've also blown out and flat out kind of lost games. Last week, they probably should have beat the Chargers. Bo Nix had a wide open Cortland Sutton that could have been even a house call. Missed the throw. They get the ball back, drive down the field, and they score. It's like, I feel like they've just been kind of getting unlucky so far. And I think even with Joe Burrow, I think they win this game. Like, I just think the Broncos are flat out the better team. I think defensively they kind of been up and down, but I think this is a big game for them. This is a game where, let's like, we're 1-2. We really need a win. Like I said, I think even if Joe Burrow was there, I think they win this game by like 7 to 10 points. I think they're just a much better team. And I think they'll be fine on all cylinders, man. Like, they are going to be red hot. That crowd's going to be electric.
Yeah.
And I think that defense is going to have a chip on their shoulder to show people why, like, they're still one of the better defenses in the league. And what better time to do it than against an offense that looked horrible against the Vikings last week. And obviously we know what they do defensively. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Broncos here in pretty convincing fashion.
Yeah, I do think the most interesting matchup for this one in this game was going to be definitely Ja'Marr Chase against Patrick Surtain. You can argue just the best wide receiver in the league against the best cornerback in the league. And they've had their fair share of battles over the years, including last year. So I think this one's going to be very interesting. And I think could very well determine who ends up coming out and has the victor of this game. Well, with that being said, we appreciate all of you for listening to this episode of the Ash Bros Podcast, episode 15. It was awesome, man, doing this with you, Peter, today. And I hope everyone listening to this has an incredible day. And we'll see you guys all in the next episode. Peace.